Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, February 11th. And it's my great pleasure to be interviewing singer-songwriter Terry Kennedy, who will introduce himself with this song.
Hi there. My name is Terry Kennedy, and I guess I'm an old folk singer from way back. I've been picking and grinning since the early in the mid-60s, playing the club circuit all over the country, doing a little bit of all kinds of different music, a lot of folk music and country music, one thing and another. But back in the 70s, I got a little interested in the esoterics of karma and reincarnation. And I'd hear people talk about who they thought they were in their last life and all kinds of things. And I thought, well, this is fodder for a really good song. So I wrote a kind of a lighthearted song about the whole concept of karma and reincarnation. It's called Who Were You? So here we go. Take a listen. Well, who were you when you did live before? Has anybody opened up that door? Well, don't tell me, I'll tell you. I'll bet you were a queen a time or two, or a king, or a doctor, or a pauper. Well, would you believe me if I was to say it makes no difference who you were yesterday? The main thing is we've come back because there's something that we lack. We better get it together this time around. The reason for being is to ascend. This soul's gonna leave here. I'm not coming back again. No, I got free will. I'm gonna use it for good this time. What was done on Atlantis and Mu was a cosmic crime. So don't look backward and don't stand still. Get it together, use your own free will, and I'll meet you in Cosmos next time around. The reason for being is to ascend. This soul's gonna leave here. I'm not coming back again. No, I got free will. I'm going to use it for good this time. What was done on Atlantis and Mu was a cosmic crime. So don't look backward and don't stand still. Get it together, use your own free will, and I'll meet you in Cosmos next time around. So don't look backward and don't stand still. Get it together, use your own free will, and I'll meet you in Cosmos next time around.
Well, thank you, Terry, for that, and thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm listening to your music, and over the years, there's been quite a progression, and I love the joy you bring to it, and a lot of your stuff's just a lot of fun.
Well, I like to have a little fun with, I guess that's something I've always tried to do with my music, you know, take a tough subject or an important message, and then just, you know, work with it, kind of give it a light edge, you know, have a little fun.
Well, we're going to go into some of your tunes today. You've got a really amazing story, as far as I'm concerned, with your music, you know, some things you've done, taking some hard subjects and going into it in a way that to me, I find inspiring. I'd like to take a few of these pieces and discuss them. One of them, the first one's In My Stead, is a pretty amazing story. Before I do that, I did want to mention that those who are listening, I didn't put this in your bio on the webpage up on Cosmic Love, but more currently, you've been co-hosting a show called The Open Door on Voice America.
Yes. I co-host a show called The Open Door with Tom Schumacher. He started the program about a little over a year ago. So we're coming up on our 52nd show next week, and it's weekly. And it's kind of the voice of the Summit Lighthouse, you know, and the Ascended Masters. So it airs on every Tuesday at noon Mountain Time. And it's a lot of fun because we talk about all the issues and various things that are going on, and we try to put some spiritual answers to a lot of the problems that are facing us in the world today, you know?
Oh, I like what you told me when I was talking about this previously, that your frame of reference is answering the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And how do I get there?
Yes. I know, and those are the basic things that people ask themselves, you know?
Yeah, well, those are the biggies. I mean, you know, if you get that worked out, your salvation is made sure.
I know.
And it's called the Seventh Wave Network on Voice America. What is that, voiceamerica.com?
Well, I think it is. I think if people just Google and go to Voice America, and then there's different buttons that you can hit for different types of programming, and I think the spiritual programs are on the Seventh Wave Network, or it used to be called Channel, I think. So if you click on that, then you, the Open Door will be one of the options that you can click on. So, it's just like your program. They're archived, but it's live on Tuesday at noon Mountain Time.
So that's the Open Door. Is the name of the show.
Yeah.
And so you've been doing that for several years, I guess.
Well, I've only been involved as a co-host now for about 12 weeks. But,
oh, I see.
Yeah. And the show started a little over a year ago, so a year and 12 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
But I've kind of had my finger in the pie as far as, cable access and all that sort of stuff back in Minneapolis. And I know that, in my career, my recording career and my entertaining career, people have always asked me, have you ever done radio? And never really had, but...
you did TV before you did radio.
Yeah. Put the cart before the horse.
Well, you have an amazing run, traipsing across the country, doing the circuit, the nightclub circuit.
Oh, yeah.
As a singer. And after that, I would think all the other stuff would be easy.
Yeah, it is kind of, you get all your stage fright stuff worked out, and then it's easy and fun,
Yeah.
I used to have a lot of fun with those cable access shows, because they're just a hoot,
You did a lot of those for years.
I did. I did like
225 of them?
Yeah, over about a six-year period.
Yeah.
My last guest was Jesse Ventura just before he became governor of the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a break from a football game and came on over, and we did a couple of half-hour shows.
Well, I put up two of the shows. They were by the same doctor. I put those up on the website on Cosmic Love. And some people listening, I'm sure, have listened to that, and or at least part of that, where they can see that you're really comfortable, and for the guests that you're a good interviewer. I mean,
thank you.
So I thought I'd play this one song you've got, In My Stead. Could you give us a little background story on that? Because that's what you mentioned before about that. I'd like the listeners to hear a little bit about your story of how you were driving through, the South someplace.
Well, I was living out in Washington, D.C. for the time. I was doing some entertaining out there. So I had a gig down in Florida. So I'm heading down whatever that is, Interstate 95, I think, and heading south from Washington, D.C., and then all of a sudden I'm inspired to write this song, and so I pull over and I write it, and it wasn't until later where I realized I was kind of documenting where I was, and I realized I was just right alongside of Quantico, the Marine base there, and this was just a few days after that explosion over there in Beirut where 241 servicemen were killed.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, this song came to me, and so basically, it's a dedication to those souls who you know, who suffered that travesty. You know.
And you mentioned that you're just were just inspired to pull off the road, and you wrote it word for word, and it came off like a almost like a dictation, because it was you didn't even have to change it after you wrote it.
Exactly. I was pretty amazed, and it's in my estimation, it's a real fiery, patriotic sort of a piece of music. You know, I mean, sometimes I talk about my music as if it wasn't even me that wrote it, because I know that it comes from a higher source. You know.
Well, I believe that, and let's let everyone listen, and I'll play right now.
Okay.
In my stead, my brother, fight for me. In my stead, my brother, keep me free. As you fight, defending liberty, just remember at home we love thee. We're so proud of how you stand so tall. We're so proud of your mission, one and all. And in song we can send our love to you. Victory for the red, white, and blue. Let the foe get the message loud and clear. In the ones who fight for us there is no fear. And the iceberg has hardly yet been seen. 'Tis the tip they have seen in our marine. Should you fall, blessed brother, by the way, let me speak for the ones at home and say, you have opened the door to victory. God's greater vision for the battle now we see. So let the foe get the message loud and clear. In the ones who fight for us there is no fear. And the iceberg has hardly yet been seen. Tis the tip they have seen in our marine. Let the foe get the message loud and clear. In the ones who fight for us there is no fear. And the iceberg has hardly yet been seen. Tis the tip they have seen in our marine. Oh, let the foe get the message loud and clear. In the ones who fight for us there is no fear. And the iceberg has hardly yet been seen.
Sounded like you had a drill sergeant there in the background.
I did. Actually, it was a real Marine sergeant, Emery J. Woodall, and I got a couple of Marines to help me with that album and all the marching. They brought their boots over to the studio, and but yeah, that's the real Marine, the real Marine call, you know?
Wow, that's really cool.
I got a lot of respect for the Marines. You know, I was an Army man. I was drafted for a couple of years back in the early 60s, but... uh-huh. But the Marines are just really something in my mind.
Yeah, mine too. Well, you know, I believe that I've heard the teachings from Cosmic Law about how there are the warrior caste among us who are completely fearless. They come into embodiment, and they have this this fearless faith in service to, you know, God and country. and have no other intention than to give their all, and they have this sense, having come back, you know, many times and been into many wars, that they have this sense that, you know, the important thing is just, you know, to be out there and to do the do, and whatever happens, they're just fearless because they know that there's life after life, you know.
Yeah, they do. And what'd you call them? The warrior caste?
Warrior caste, yeah. And they're in all civilizations. The Hindus referred to them specifically as a caste. You know, with their caste system, they identified that there was different castes. And the warrior caste, you know, they gravitate, always gravitate to the military. And that's just their sole momentum. And it's the way they go through evolutionary ascent in cosmos, is as a white fire core, you know, pure intention for the good fight.
yeah. And you know, when you break the four services down, you get the kind of the four bodies. You know, you get the
fire, air, water, and earth. Yep.
Fire, air, water, and earth. Yeah. And the Marines are the fire body. And boy, they.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, you watch any of these? Jack Webb, drill instructor. You know, in the movie and all these.
Yeah.
They're really played well by many, many actors. You know.
Yeah. Well, there's that intensity of the fire, and again, the fire is just like that pure. When I say pure intention, I'm referring to a fearless faith in a higher power, that's all in divine order. God's will be done, and they're going to play their part, and they're not attached to their life virtually. And when I say that, there is that sense of fearlessness that in battle that comes, and some have it and some don't, you know.
Yeah, and that's how they get eliminated in boot camp, you know?
Yeah.
And the ones that make it, oh, man.
I'd
fall in line behind them, any one of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's this ongoing battle of light and darkness, you know, it's on all levels. Mental, emotional, and physical, and sometimes it isn't a physical battle. Sometimes it's just, you know... The discernment. The battle is for discernment, to discern the spirits, the light and the dark, you know, and discernment of spirits is really back to there's spiritual warriors too, and the spiritual warriors have that, you know, that pure intention with a fearless faith, you know, to discern what's not of the light and just go after it, you know,
it's interesting you mentioned that, that discernment of between good and evil. I think that's a subject we're going to cover next week on our radio show, and that's a responsibility that everyone has, is to take a soul reading of whatever it is that they see, whether they read it in the newspaper, see it on the internet or on television or whatever. People know, they can tell when something's not right, you know.
Yeah.
And our job is to do something about it.
The first gift of the Holy Spirit, they say, is discernment, and all the other gifts follow from that.
Oh, interesting.
And I think in 2012, the big test is effective sensory perception, you know. Effective sensory, not extra, just effective, because when you have it, there's nothing there's nothing extra about it.
Yeah. just be effective, for God's sake.
Just be effective. Have that discernment and just, you know, in good conscience, you know, go for the gusto. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the neat thing that I know is that light, you know, light always prevails. You know, there's never a battle. You know, you walk over to the wall and you switch the light off, and that's darkness. But if you want the light, you slip it back on, and darkness just doesn't exist. You know.
Yeah. Of course, the only side effect of, you know, more light is you see all the dust on the table that you didn't see before. And all the dirt, you know, comes up for transmutation.
That's right. So get out your Swiffer.
So you've got another song called The Noble Ones. Could you give us a little background on that?
Well, I got involved with the Afghan cause back in the late 70s, early 80s.
The Mujahideen.
What that?
The Mujahideen.
Yeah, and I was living down in the Los Angeles area, and so somebody kind of turned me on to it, and the more I found out about it, the more I realized that, hey, this isn't right, what's going on. And you know, just a brief history. The Soviets invaded Afghanistan. I think it was Christmas Eve, 1979, and killed a lot of their main leaders. And then they were doing like this carpet bombing, you know, and
dropping toys that blew off the arms of kids to pick them up.
Yeah, yeah.
Horrible stuff.
Just outrageous things, you know. And so
yeah.
I got involved, you know, because I'm a singer-songwriter, and I just, I remember a friend of mine said, Terry, just write a song about the children. And so I was inspired to do it, and as a result, I mean, I went on, I did a lot of performing during that whole Afghan cause, and became pretty well known in the Afghan community, not only nationally, but internationally. I had a guy walk up to me after an event one evening, a dinner down in Southern California, and he said, "He said, did you know your song plays in the refugee camps of Afghanistan or of Pakistan?"
Really?
I said, "Oh my gosh!" You know.
And
so, you know, that was like a full circle thing for me. In other
yeah.
words, I was inspired to write it. I did it. It had an impact, and you know, I performed it a number of times in Washington D.C. But I was just righteously indignant, you know, that the fallen
yeah.
angels, you know, however they manifest, you know, were pulling off a trick like this in Afghanistan.
Yeah. Well, let's play that up.
Okay.
Start that now.
We disarm the Afghans and kill off their crops and get them to surrender their homes. We call them the rebels and look away from their cause and let them fight for their life all alone. Oh, what did I do, Mommy? What have I done? Why are they bombing our land? And why did that toy that fell from the sky blow up and take one of my hands? In the world there is starving, in the world there is strife, and grown men fight grown men in war. But to blow off the hand of a young, gentle child is a crime we've not heard of before. We disarm the Afghans and kill off their crops and get them to surrender their home. We call them the rebels and look away from their cause and let them fight for their life all alone. How many have seen a young boy set afire in front of his mom and his dad for the crime of not telling where the noble ones hide? Have the soldiers and the whole world gone mad? What would you do if these children were yours? Could you put all these things from your mind? Let we now, the people, take a stand in defense of the noble ones holding the line. Help now the Afghan, help now his cause. Take a stand in defense of his home. Put your life, sacred honors, and fortunes on line. Let him know he's not in this alone. Let him know he's not in this alone. Help now the Afghan, help now his cause. Take a stand in defense of his home. Put your life, sacred honors, and fortunes on line. Let him know he's not in this alone. Let him know he's not in this alone. Help now the Afghan, help now his cause. Take a stand in defense of his home. Put your life, sacred honors, and fortunes on line. Let him know he's not in this alone. Let him know he's not in this alone. Help now the Afghan, help now his cause. stand in defense of his home. Put your life, sacred honor, and fortunes on the line. Let him know he's not in this alone. Let him know he's not in this alone.
Wow. Yeah.
Quite a song, isn't it?
That theme of that we're with you, you're not in this alone. I can imagine, you know, hearing that in the camps, and that just that repeating, you know, mantra that, you know, we're with you. And of course, you know, there was a huge overcoming, then, you know, and that was the defeat of the Soviet Union that really led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. I understand it. I mean, that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah, and it was. Well, there was a movie with Julie Roberts about the senator that was instrumental in getting and funding.
Oh,
first
yeah,
it was
yeah.
covert funding.
Charlie's War.
Charlie's War. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a really amazing kind of, you know, story behind the scenes of what was going on. Of course, there's all kinds of economics and politics and intrigue and treachery and all that kind of stuff. But,
right.
But it was amazing how they got first the covert funding, and then they raised the funding, and they got the support for the Mujahideen and expelled the Soviets. And that was the defeat that really things began really disintegrating in the Soviet Empire.
I think you're right. Yeah, I may have even met Charlie, you know, at some point or another in Washington, D.C. I met a lot of people, you know. And it was a great opportunity to interact with these people. I just have so much respect for them. And, of course, you know, those were the real noble ones, the real freedom fighters back then.
It was a whole different world back then. Wow.
Yeah.
What the things that have happened in the meantime is just, a downward spiral in many regards. So I'd like to keep, you know, the spirit of God and country that our founding fathers had. You know, mm-hmm. I'd like to maintain that. And you've got a song called "And I'm Proud." Could you give us a little the story about that?
Well, I wrote this back in 1974, and I just I wanted to put into one song kind of a little bit about, you know, I take the darkness and try and put a challenge to it, you know. And I just I'm from the Midwest, I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, I'm proud of it, you know. And I just, in my lyrics, you know, I want to expose to you the astounding truth of the liar and his lie. You know, our founding fathers believed in God and in country, and so do I. And you know, and I get pretty emotional when I think about this stuff, because the way our country was founded, it was founded on divine principles. I mean, these aren't concepts and things. Our Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, they didn't come from man. They came from God, and man wrote them down. And and it's serious stuff, and it's strong stuff, you know.
And then I think about George Washington and the Revolutionary War, and he was a 33rd degree Mason, and that was back when 33rd degree Masonic order, that 33rd level was the level of Christhood. The highest level was referenced as Christhood. Now it's become inverted, subverted, and perverted, and the 33rd level of the Masonic order has become virtually the Antichrist.
Right. Well, that's the way the fallen angels do. You know, they get into anything that's any good. They get in, they infiltrate, and then they turn it upside down, like you say, invert it.
Inversion, subversion, perversion, dark side, substitution.
Yeah. I know. So, but like you say, back then, practically all of our founding fathers were Masons, and they knew what they were doing, and they were a spiritual bunch.
Yeah, 52 of the 56 were either Masons or Rosicrucians. Franklin was a Rosicrucian.
I see.
Yeah, and Jefferson was a Rosicrucian.
Uh-huh.
I studied the Rosicrucian order out in San Jose, long time, 70s, early 70s, and I basically got into the ancient mystical order of, you know, the Great White Brotherhood, as far as, you know, there was these movements that have surfaced, like the Founding Fathers and the Revolutionary War, throughout history, where there was individuals that really were attuned to that spirit of, you know, the light of God that never fails, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
And so let's play that, and I'm proud, and we'll discuss this some more.
Okay.
And I'm proud that great state is my home. I am American and I'm proud, and if I must, I'll stand alone to defend my holy country, this nation under God, where the right to be free with liberty can be taken from us so easily. I'll not stand by and watch her die. I will give my very life to expose to you the astounding truth of the liar and his lie. Our founding fathers believed in God and in country, so do I. So I'll sing it again.
First show on Cosmic Love 5 years ago was my story about God and country, and it was my own personal experience with the invisible hand of God, so to speak, when I was coming back from that mystery school, and I had an amazing experience where I had a God and country medal from Boy Scouts in my pocket over my heart when I hitchhiked out to the mystery school, and coming back, and I'd lost it on the way, and I didn't know what happened to it. Because it was in my pocket over my heart. You know, what does this God and country thing mean? And I'm going to the mystery school, and I was out there, you know, studying for, you know, about a month. They had a summer conference kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
And coming back, and I was walking around Boulder, Colorado. I ran into had some friends there from school, and I walked out into the community there, you know, the old town area right off the downtown, and was just getting a feel whether I was going to, you know, settle there, because I just had a good vibe about Boulder, Colorado back at that time. It was, you know, like a really cool town. And I walked up to this house, and a couple walked out, and she had this God and country medal pinned on her skirt. and it just was, I walked up, they walked out, and he said, "Hey, what's happening, man?" He was, you know, and he was a construction worker with a milk van, you know, and she had a bandana on, and she had blue jeans skirt on, and, you know, hippie chick, you know. and had this God and country medal. I said, "Well, that's a God and country medal, and that's a Boy Scout medal, and each church has a different one, and where did you get that?" And she goes, "Glacier National Park." I said, "At the foot of a glacier? On Valley to the Sun Road?" And she goes, yeah. And I said, "Oh, my God, I lost that shoe skiing on the way out," you know, when I was hitchhiked out from Ohio. And it's true. And, of course, we both freaked out, and you know, it's like, a God in country. What does this mean? You know, the mysteries of God. You know, I'm going to this mystery school because I had kind of a cosmic experience I couldn't explain, and dropped out of Ohio State University because they weren't going to explain it to you.
No kidding. Wow.
And so this happened, and that was my first show. I have it documented on my website and an article.
That's an amazing story.
In the archives, I have pictures. I was a photographer back then. I had photojournalistic pictures on the way out there, you know, and just goes through the story as I referenced it. But
did you give the medal back to you?
Well, you know, she wanted to, and I'm just completely freaked that this is beyond. How is this possible? You know.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, no, you keep that. I'll never forget this.
Oh, that's sweet of you.
And it was just like this almost sacrilegious because you know what's happened was so beyond, you know. And so what happened was, you know, I mean, I was in argument with her, and she finally got her to keep it. So the next day, I'm downtown, and I have my camera around my neck because I didn't at this time, my 135mm Nikon, and I run into them downtown. I get a picture of her with that on her skirt, and I said, you know, maybe I'm supposed to have that back because I've run into, you know, to run into them like that. It was just coincidence on top of coincidence. It's just beyond,
right,
you know.
Right.
So.
Oh,
so,
wow, what a story.
So God and Country to me is, you know, and songs like that just touch my heart.
This country was founded, you know, by preachers at the pulpit.
Preachers at the pulpit. Yeah.
That's
where the Revolutionary War got its flame.
That's right.
Just righteous indignation and just righteousness. Period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's all I'm going to take, and how's Popeye say? It's all as I can take, and I can't take no more.
Yeah.
Something
like
that.
It's like I am that I am, and that's all that I am. Which brings us back to the real spirit of America. It's an anagram for the I am race. If you scramble the letters from America, you know, the I am race, which is, you know, the I am movement, the I am flame. It's people worldwide. And as Thomas Paine said and George Washington said, you know, the cause of America is the cause of all mankind. And they were really talking about, you know, the I am race, the freedom fighters, you know, those who love freedom worldwide. And
yeah, that's right. And that's why the members of the 12 tribes of Israel have come to America. They sense that flame. That's why they want to be here.
That's who
we are.
The gathering of the tribes of Israel. What is real in I am?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's I am that I am as released, the name of God is released through the burning bush, and here we are, we're the I am race, and then you, like you say, you switch the letters around and you get America.
Yeah, the I am race, and of course, you know, there are people worldwide that, you know, have that flame.
Yeah, they're members of the I am race. They're Americans at heart.
At heart, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the real love of America, the core love of America, always has been that. And
right.
Of course, now it's all coming to a head. I think that 2012, there was a surge in with the Galactic Alignment, which is the real story of 2012, you know, that there's a surge of energy that's aligned with the Great Central Sun and the alignment of hundreds of billions of star systems in the galactic plane, our solar systems crossing up and across it, and there's that alignment and a resonance. And there's just an intensity of you know, the source be with us.
Yeah, that's right. It is pretty amazing. I mean, here it is. It's 2012.
This is it.
It's the end of the Mayan calendar, and the end of the. In my estimation, it's the end of the those who have misused their opportunities on this planet. You know, a lot of fallen angels came here, and a lot of other beings, you know, were invited here, you know, from other systems of worlds to work out their karma, and, you know, and if they can't do it, then their time is up.
I think this is when I say judgment time, it's discernment time. It's like an opportunity, an extraordinary opportunity for globally, and I'd like to think that this the discernment thing is going to go mainstream, critical mass in 2012 with a surge in in conscience. I mean, there's consciousness and there's conscience. And as we become conscious of how we're conscious, there's that small voice within, call it conscience or whatever, and I think that's what's really the light of God that never fails or otherwise, cuts the darkness. Yeah.
Yeah, your Christ self or your guardian angel, however you want to look at that.
Higher self, real self.
Yeah.
And I call it the spherical consciousness of the I Am presence, that's truly spirit, the spherical consciousness, that's truly spiritual. And that's like, it's like nonlinear, it's all connected, it's unity, it's common sense is what Thomas Paine called it.
Oh, that's right. And you know what? I think that Edgar Cayce said that common sense is the sense that is common between man and God.
Yeah. And the relationships of relevance and ultimate reverence, the holy whole.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got another song I'd like to you to comment on. Now this is all from your album, your Liberty album, Give Me Liberty.
Yeah. Give Me Liberty.
And so a little station break here. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. I'm interviewing Terry Kennedy, and we're going through songs from his album, Give Me Liberty. And this one's called The Saga of Gull Island. Could you give us a little intro to that or story behind that?
Well, I heard about this this Reverend Lindsay Williams, this guy in Washington, D.C., loaned me this tape and this book called The Energy Non-Crisis, and I was fascinated. This was back in the early 70s. There was a guy that, when they were building the pipeline up there, he wanted to go up there and work on the pipeline just to be, he was a Baptist preacher and he wanted to be there for the men, But he went up and he was able to sit in on pretty high-level meetings. And so with this 9 oil company consortium up there, well, they tapped... so he heard and saw all the big stuff, They tapped onto more oil off of Gull Island there, off the North Slope, than had ever been discovered. And then they went ahead and capped the well. It would have made America energy independent back in the 70s. Back in the 70s.
And the real story there is the economics of scarcity. Keep enough scarcity. If there's abundance, then the price of oil would have come down.
Yeah. And so I just had to write this song. I got a phone call from him one day. I recognized his voice. He says, "Is this Terry Kennedy?" I said, "Yeah." "Is this Reverend Lindsay Williams?" He says, "Why would you write a song about me?" I said, "Man, are you on a bandwagon? I had to write a song about you." Anyway.
Well, I have a friend. I know an individual who was involved with the oil fields, and he said that they did the same thing all over Texas and all over the South. They capped a huge amount of wells and went on discovering, but keeping the scarcity, the economics of scarcity, is the value of scarcity, how you conceal waste and destroy abundance to maintain scarcity, to keep prices, profit, and control high. And he told me the same story, and this is before I heard about Lindsay Williams, but I read about Lindsay Williams, that story. And of course, now we got the Balkan. The Balkan here in Montana, the huge oil reserves, and they're saying that's got enough energy. We forget about the Middle East. It's got enough oil that'll last into 2020 or something like that, 2020, 2030, and it's the same thing. So let me play the Saga of Gull Island to bring all this. Nope. Here we go.
A stalwart fine man of the cloth, in serving his Savior and Lord, took traveling far up to Alaska, not seeking any reward. He just wanted to work on the pipeline and be there when men needed him. But the things that he saw and the story he tells will cause us to think once again about the things that our leaders have told us, how the oil doesn't flow on this land. And they've never once mentioned Gull Island, but now they must answer this man. He wants to know why they've choked down the valves. He wants to know why they've capped off the wells of the greatest oil find on the planet that history may ever tell. They must think that they own the very soul of the people that live in this land. Well, they're in for a rude awakening, 'cause this land is ruled by God's hand. The fathers who founded this nation shall not let their footsteps be in vain, for they live in the heart of this one sense who is willing to endure the pain of the mission to wake up a nation that's been tampered with time and again. Well, this time I tell you in truth, my friends, it's we who are going to win. We're going to uncap the well on Gull Island. We're going to let the black gold flow into the land of the freeborn, to the great 48 below. Now there's a little trick to naming the bad guys. It's hard to tell black hat from white, but just listen to the modern day Noahs. They'll be teaching you into the night. We're gonna uncap the well on Gull Island and let the black gold flow into our land. These guys, they are through, they have had it. They have played out their last hand. Yes, this time I will tell you in truth, my friends, it's we who are going to win.
I'd like to have a song like that regarding, regarding free energy.
Free energy.
Free energy,
yeah.
Technology and how that's being suppressed, and it's here and it's available. It's been here, and you know, referencing from Nikola Tesla to there's all these different individuals that are famous for, you know, breakthroughs with free energy technology, and I think 2012 is the year it's really coming out. This, you know, the Thrive movement that I had on my last show and I referenced to you, they're really doing an amazing expose on the subject of free energy technology that's available and ready to be deployed for virtually, you know, I mean, you think about it, homes, cars would be independent. I mean, there's Japanese that have a car in production where you put water in the fuel tank, you know, and it splits the water atom into hydrogen and oxygen and burns the hydrogen with the oxygen, and the only byproduct of that car that runs around, you know, in production in Japan, the only byproduct is water that trickles out the tailpipe.
Isn't that something? So,
yeah.
So that's finally in production?
Yeah, there's pictures of it, and I've seen pictures of it and posts on it.
Yeah.
But it's blacked out. Again, this is just all blacked out. It's like talking about, you know, Planet X. You know, it's like you're not going to see it. And yet,
yeah,
there have been news videos and clips I've seen that will be on local TV stations around the United States, and they'll explain that, you know, the breakthroughs with the same technology, cars running on it, and how the military is using it for their Humvees and, you know, in Desert Storm or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I've seen these video clips, but they'll only be on local TV stations. They'll never get national news.
Yeah.
And again, it's coming out. The Thrive movement is, you know, it's going viral worldwide. People, you know, seeing that, yes, this technology exists, it's available, it's ready to be deployed, and the only opposition to it is big oil.
Yeah.
And the banksters.
And the banksters and all the politics that are involved, you know.
Yeah. Politics and economics are far more complex than the science,
it's
which
really
a lot of us
something.
Know.
Yeah.
So it's good to have songs like this, though, because, you know, it's just, you know, you sing along with it and you realize, you know, there's a problem, and then we just got to uncap the potential.
Well, maybe you and I ought to get together, and you can feed me some notes, and
I'll
put a free energy song together.
Hey, you know, you're close enough, and that's close enough to me that if I write it, will you sing it?
Yeah.
We'll collaborate.
Let's get together on that. See what we can.
I like the sound of that. I really do.
Yeah.
Say, how about a blast from the past? Let me go back to your hit you had down there in Nashville, Tennessee, back in the early 70s, Mama Bear.
You going to play that? Oh my gosh.
I think it's a little bit honky-tonk there, Terry.
It's great. We had more fun in Nashville. My partner and I played Nashville. We played the top, the roof at Roger Miller's King of the Road Motor Inn. The roof was the big showroom in town, and we went down there and auditioned. We threw a party, and we ended up, you know, being like a warm-up, you know, to the main name, you know, of who was appearing. You know, like the Ink Spots would be there.
You were the warm-up act, sure.
Yeah, so we'd do a few songs before the Ink Spots would come on, that sort of thing. So just being in the right place at the right time, you know, there was an opportunity to have a recording session, and we ended up with a hit record.
That's so cool. Let me play that.
Okay.
Blast from the past.
Oh, man. Isn't that fun?
That is fun. Oh, my gosh.
We had so much fun. And, you know, we didn't make a lot of money because I didn't write the song or anything like that, you know, but we got airplay, you know? I mean, three major cities, it was number one for 3 weeks in a row, Kansas City, Denver, Des Moines, and it got airplay all across America.
That must have been really exciting. Oh, gosh.
It was a major thrill. Major thrill.
Put some wind in your sails.
Yeah, it really did. It really did, and it made me feel like I'd a kind of accomplished something, you know. I mean, everybody wants a recording career and opportunity, and so there it was.
Yeah.
You know? And here's the Jordanaires, you know, Elvis's backup singer, standing right next to me, and I'm thrilled.
Oh, yeah, I'd
anyway.
Be a thrill.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now you got a voice, and you, I guess you do voiceovers. You've got that kind of a voice. It sounds like it'd be ideal for narration or voiceovers.
Well, yeah. I like doing that kind of thing. I've done a little bit of it in the past, you know.
You
use my radio voice, you know.
Your radio, yeah, your resonance there.
Yeah.
I've got a one more cut here, and I thought we'd finish up with that. But I really want to thank you for being on the show today. Terry, it's been great. I really enjoyed it.
Listen, it's been a great opportunity. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much, Chris.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're going to finish up with a tune you did called Spanish Flea and Tijuana Taxi. Could you give us a little background on that?
We used to do this little horn thing with my mouth, you know, and we do it in the club, you know. You hit a lot of reverb, and it's a lot of fun. Well, we put it on my partner Rudy Perez. He and I put it on our first album, and somebody picked it up on the web, and it ended up on a website, and it's all over the place, you know. But with a bunch of Herb Alpert orchestras and that sort of thing. So we're right in there with a whole gang of them, you know, with this phony mouth horn thing that
you're doing a mouth horn, because you can't tell it's not a horn hardly. I mean, it's amazing.
Well, by the grace of God, it does sound pretty good. It was a lot of fun.
So we'll finish up with that. I want to thank everyone for listening. Terry, I want to thank you for being on the show. I'll be back here in a couple of weeks. And appreciate Terry, and we'll be getting together before too long here.
Alrighty.
Down at the local coffee shop or whatever.
Let's do it.
Okay. So here's this final tune, Terry Kennedy with his Spanish Flea and Tijuana Taxi. Yada, da, 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 da.